Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
California Senator Kamala Harris is ending her Democratic presidential bid.
It was clear that there had been struggles behind the scenes to come up with a coherent message and some pretty embarrassing reports in the last few days of the real turmoil in her operation over how to proceed.
This is going to sound immodest, but I'm obviously a top-tier candidate.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This morning, President Trump on the world stage, kicking off the NATO summit here in London.
It comes as Democrats back in Washington say they'll publicly release their report today, detailing the case for impeachment against President Trump.
I think it's very unpatriotic of the Democrats to put on a performance where they do that.
I think Adam Schiff is a deranged human being. I think he grew up with a complex for lots of reasons that are obvious. I think he's a very sick man.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Are you saying, forget me? Is that your mantra now?
Not yet. I especially have been deluged in, you know, the last few weeks with thinking about doing that. I'd have to make up my mind really quickly because it's moving very fast.
How can I miss you if you won't go away?
Unchained and unstoppable.
So we're on a no malarkey tour, meaning we're telling the truth.
What is malarkey? Why can't it say no BS? I don't.
Because he's Irish, so he says no malarkey.
Actually, it is a fantastic campaign slogan for Cork in like 1956.
Yes.
That's right. Vote Joe Biden because the man for this time is the man from another time. And that's no malarkey.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Do we have a countdown clock at the bottom of the screen here for the countdown to when the law school professors are going to arrive on Capitol Hill tomorrow to explain why there's no necessity to have a crime to impeach and convict and remove a president of the United States, even though he didn't do anything wrong? Is there a clock? You want to see?
We don't need professors, Howie. Everyone just needs to go on Twitter and look up Barbara Streisand's Twitter because she explained impeachment perfectly. She said, from his blatant attempt to extort Ukraine using taxpayer money for a fake investigation of his political rival, there is question that Trump aspires to be a despot. And impeachment is the sober process envisioned by the founders to counter such a threat.
He's a really lousy despot. Has he turned the IRS on his political opponents? Has he spied on reporters? Has he jailed anybody like Dinesh D'Souza was jailed under Obama, or the cop Egyptian Christian filmmaker after Benghazi? Has he done any of that Obama type stuff?
Take it up with Barbara Streisand, Howie.
He's really a third rate despot. People who are moon bats are the craziest people in the world. Well, are we down? We're down another minute now. One minute close. I can't. You know what? I'm gonna. You know what, Grace? Tomorrow, I'm gonna wear one of my UNC sweatshirts in honor of a UNC professor is gonna be up there tomorrow. He's batting third, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah. The leadoff guy is from Harvard. He's the Felix Frankfurter Professor. I think that's the chair that Alan Dershowitz used to have, if I'm not mistaken, at Harvard Law School. You know, I went to Harvard Law School. Did you know that? Every morning.
I did not know
that. I would drop my kids off at the Harvard Law School Daycare Center.
Oh.
Yes.
You know what's amazing? Even just you talking about Harvard Law School.
And UNC. I'm an alumnus of UNC.
Even just you mentioning Harvard, you're getting more bow tie-ish as you say it. Yeah. You start kind of like moving and shaking in a certain way.
Personally, I think if you're going to have somebody from UNC and the law school there, why not John Edwards? You know,
forget the law school. Bring in Howie Carr.
But I didn't go to the law school. John Edwards went to the law school.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're an expert on so many things that you could just be in there and give your hot take on everything.
Yeah, I could bring two babies in and say I'm going back to Harvard Law School. Here they are.
All right, guys.
I'll be back for him at 3:30.
Howie, it's time for Grace's News, and I just want to make a comment on the introduction. I know I say this every day, but it was excellent. But what I also have to say is I have two words for Joe Scarborough.
What's that?
Kind of three, if you count the hyphen. Come on, man. Why is he being so harsh on Joe Biden? The No Malarkey Tour. The No Malarkey Tour bus looks so dated and old and lame. It's like in Comic Sans, and it has the big exclamation point.
Was Ralph Bramden driving it?
Oh, it's so awful. He is in a time machine. He's Marty McFly.
Well, you know, Grace, I was going to save these for later on in the hour, but you've set me up. We got to play some of these cuts from the Malarkey Tour. We didn't get to yesterday, and there's a new one here. Let's play. First of all, he said that he has spent time with Kim Jong-un, which apparently is, I don't let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the campaign of the front runner for the Democrat nomination, but apparently he never did. Okay, here it is, though.
Putin has no illusions about whether I know him or not. Kim Jong-un is no person that I know him or not. Right. The same with the president of China, Xi Jinping. Spend a lot of time with these folks. They know. They know.
They know what? They know what?
That's the thing, too, is that he doesn't think he has to answer any questions except for saying things like, you know, man, don't go there with me. You know that I know. It's like, wait a second, you're running for president, okay? You're not funny.
He learned that from Corn Pop.
You're not the lovable, gaffable VP who everyone knows doesn't do anything except for walk around the White House with your Ray-Bans on. You're trying to be the commander-in-chief of the United States. You can't just say, I've been there before. Well, what does that mean? We don't know. Oh, and Howie, can I also tell you this? There was an interesting piece from Politico, and I don't think there's sound of this because it was one of those just written up interviews that they didn't record it.
Maybe it was on the No Malarkey bus where they didn't have a microphone or a camera.
Yeah, or any sort of technology because it's straight out of 1925. In an interview Monday with Politico, the former vice president said having had that post under President Barack Obama is as much help as he needs, and he doesn't need his former boss's endorsement. Now, this is where it gets interesting. He says, no, because everyone knows I'm close with him. I don't need an Obama endorsement. He reiterated to Politico his previous claims that he had asked Mr. Obama not to endorse him and said that his stance would not change as the field narrows and an Obama endorsement could become a game clincher. Mr. Biden also said he wasn't overly put out by a previous political report that said Mr. Obama had said to others that his former number two really doesn't have it when it comes to connecting with voters. And this is the quote from Biden. This is what he says about Obama's dig at him. He may have said that, and if that's true and he said it, there's truth to it.
So in other words, he is a loser. Is what he's saying. If he said I'm a loser, I guess I'm a loser. And incidentally, since when has Obama's endorsement been a game clincher? Was it in a game clincher for Senator Marsha Coakley in 2010? Was it a game clincher for President Hillary Clinton in 2016?
Yeah, but you know what is the game?
He has no coattails.
The thing about this is there's something very concerning about working under someone for 8 years and them not knowing you well enough or feeling confident enough in you to endorse you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they're as close as Biden leads us to believe, then he should get the endorsement. If they're best friends, if they have such a bromance, then what's he holding out for?
How could you spend 8 days with Joe Biden, let alone 8 years, and think that the guy was qualified to be dog catcher? And that's no knock on dog catchers.
Howie,
someone's got to be a dog catcher.
Can we play Joe Biden's most recent campaign ad for his No Malarkey bus tour?
Let's do that. I was going to play. Let's play cut 21, negotiating the aid for Ukraine that Trump put a hold on.
Held up $400 million in military aid, which I helped negotiate when I was a vice president in Ukraine. because Ukrainians, as I speak, are being killed today by Russians in an area called the Donbas, which is in eastern Ukraine. He held it up.
They wouldn't. They didn't have any military aid. How many times have we been over this?
Does anyone challenge him in the room?
That they sent military blankets to Poland. They didn't even want to fly them into Ukraine. They had to send convoys over the line. Have we got time for the fake Biden ad?
Go ahead. Fake Biden. This is as real as it gets, Howie.
Excuse me. I stand corrected. The newest Joe Biden ad.
Greetings, American youth. The upcoming election will be here in a jiffy, faster than you can say 23 skidoo. And that's why it's important you put down your records and turn those popular dance steps like the Charleston and the Jitterbug into footsteps. That's right. It's time to call your chums, give them the bums rush, and take to the streets for Jolting Joe Biden. Yes, America's youth can be sure Joe Biden is the man for the future with his popular and youthful election slogan, No Malarkey. Why, in time, tots across the country will be trading in the dungarees and Letterman sweaters for good old-fashioned campaign know-how from Joe No Malarkey Biden. Ask your town soda jerk, and he'll likely tell you he's voting No Malarkey. The candy striper? She's a No Malarkey kind of gal, too. The haberdasher? The milkman? They all say No Malarkey. Or pick up the phone and dial your local operator. Even she'll say, I'm connecting you to No Malarkey. That's right, vote Joe Biden, because the man for this time is the man from another time. And that's No Malarkey.
Tell the co-ed sitting next to you in the rumble seat to vote for Joe and everybody else at the sock hop, too. Joe Biden for president.
That was really, that reminded me of when I was in Thoroughly Modern Millie. I think that was based in the 1930s. That was great.
He'll be great doing those fireside chats on TV, just like President Roosevelt in 1929. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Oh,
and just so everyone knows, that is the number to call. And if you want to press 2, you can get on the Chump line. It's a great day to get on the Chump line. If you want to talk Joe Biden, No Malarkey. If you want to talk Michelle Obama getting into the race. Whatever you want to leave a pithy, funny joke about, you'll probably get on. Or you might get on Chump Chumps, which we have with our podcast stuff.
And try to curb your enthusiasm if you're just looking so forward with bated breath to the professors, the pointy-headed intellectuals who can't park a bicycle straight tomorrow on Capitol Hill, telling us why high crimes and misdemeanors, it's an evolving paradigm. You don't need to have committed a crime. Just throw him out of office. He's an orange man, and he's bad. Taste the amazing difference of ButcherBox by signing up at ButcherBox.com/Howie and get $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon in your first box. ButcherBox.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who will be the next top-tier Democratic presidential candidate to drop out?
Yeah. Top-tier, now that we're on TV. Put it in air quotes. What are my choices?
Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Tulsi Gabbard, Amy Klobuchar, Deval Patrick, or Andrew Yang?
I'm voting for Cory Booker. The thing is, if you have a high maintenance campaign where you got a hefty monthly nut, those are the ones who are going down. You know, people like Andrew Yang. He doesn't really have any kind of campaign staff, I don't think. So what's he got to lose? Cory Booker, though, is spending a lot of dough. I think he'll be the next one out.
Julian Castro's taking the lead at 32%. Cory Booker's right behind at 28%. Amy Klobuchar is next at 14%. Deval Patrick at 13%. Andrew Yang at 9%. And Tulsi Gabbard at 4%.
Tulsi's going nowhere. She's not running for re-election. Why would she quit the race?
She's 4% in our poll, and she's 4% in the actual polls. coincidence?
Well, she's 4% to be the first one to drop out. Plus, she can always call her her soulmate, Vladimir Putin, to get an in-kind contribution.
Very true. Okay, so I want to talk about this story from the Washington Post. It went viral yesterday on Twitter. The Washington Post attacks Melania Trump's ridiculous jacket after approving of her Christmas decorations. So remember last year, all the media outlets were attacking her Christmas decorations. They said it looked like The Handmaid's Tale. They were all red, red trees.
Right.
People were saying it was weird.
I thought it looked really nice myself.
Me too. So this year, they say, and I'm specifically talking about the piece from Robin Given. It was headlined, Melania Trump's Christmas decorations are lovely, but that coat looks ridiculous. She goes on to criticize the First Lady's signature look of draping the coat over the shoulders.
Don't First Ladies usually adorn the covers of fashion magazines such as they are left, Grace?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michelle Obama was on thousands.
How many is Melania Trump been on covers?
Before Donald Trump was running for president?
No. Now that she's the first lady of the land.
I'm going to go for somewhere around zero, probably. Maybe one or two if there's like Republican magazines.
Especially you would think that they would be interested in putting the first immigrant first lady on the cover of all these fashion magazines, these glossies.
And by the way, Howie, so Melania, I should just say this. She looked absolutely stunning. If you saw, this is the jacket that was criticized. And
she always looks pretty damn good.
Yeah. And so Stephanie Grissom had this to say. It has become an annual holiday tradition for the media to attack all that the First Lady does. If this was a Democratic administration, I suspect Mrs. Trump and her work would be featured positively in every mainstream news outlet.
Yeah, I more than suspect. I guarantee you.
And she did not back down. I went on this girl's Twitter, and she was just retweeting it. But the tweets back were awesome. Because it's a perspective piece in the Washington Post, so it says perspective Melania Trump, blah blah blah.
And aren't they all perspective pieces? Sometimes they just put at the end sources said.
This one says this woman Mary says perspective Melania's coat is stunning, and this story makes the Washington Post look ridiculous. Another person said
more ridiculous than the Russians hacking into the Vermont electrical grid.
Another person said Melania Trump would be on the cover of Vogue if she was a Democrat. Her wardrobe is impeccable,
exactly.
And she looks fierce in this jacket. And this guy, Bill, says, not up on the Beltway's Christmas etiquette. Does loathing Trump require snarking at the man's wife, too? And then,
yes, it does, to answer your question. But he already knew the answer anyway.
And Molly Hemingway also tweeted about it and had a great tweet just bashing this writer for being so mean, mean-spirited, especially around the holidays.
844-500-4242 will take your calls. When we return, I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show here on this this day where the president is in London and meeting with NATO leaders, and he's defending NATO. And, of course, when he was running for president, he was saying that NATO was a bunch of freeloaders and it outlived its usefulness, and they had to pay more. They had to pay more of their GDP, gross domestic product, on defense, as the United States did. The deep state was having a collective heart attack. They were so shocked that this nativist xenophobe Republican was attacking NATO. So today, Macron, the leader of France, was bad-mouthing NATO, and President Trump defended NATO. And, well, you know how it goes. Now, the same people who were attacking Trump for attacking NATO are now attacking Trump for defending NATO. Stop me if you've heard this one before. 844-500-4242. Let's take a call. Ken, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey.
Hi.
You there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Listen, my question is this. I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can't understand how this Joe Biden is being held up as still the front runner. Am I the only one that thinks that he might have a slight touch of Alzheimer's? Now, again,
I'm not going to agree or disagree, but no, Ken, you're not the only person. But I can explain to you why he's still the front runner. Have you looked at the people behind him?
Well, yes, and I understand the situation of the people behind him, but do they absolutely think that if he is going to go up against Trump, that he's going to take Trump down?
I think they're really desperate. I mean, how desperate do they have to be to put up a bunch of law professors to talk about the academic issue of impeachment when they have no evidence to actually impeach the president with? And yet they still, this afternoon, have issued a 300-page report on a 30-minute conversation after calling 2 weeks' worth of witnesses, only I think one of whom was actually a party or listened in on the actual conversation that is the basis of the impeachment. Doesn't the entire Democrat enterprise these days reek of desperation?
Not only desperation, but it reeks of corruption so bad behind the scenes that it's actually sickening to listen to. I actually can't listen to anything anymore. The only reason today I happened to be flipping around and I got into you with this new bus he's got, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Honest to God, I just don't get it.
It really does need a rumble scene on it, doesn't it? You know, I mean, that make it totally appropriate? The No Malarkey bus. And he goes around, and every day we have new gaffes to play for sound bites. How is this helping him out? But again, his main competitors are fake Indian, a communist who honeymooned in the old Soviet Union, and the mayor of the fourth largest city in Indiana who has zero black support in the third state in the process, South Carolina, where probably over half the voters are going to be black. It's crazy.
Crazy isn't the word for it. I think what Biden needs, though, is a 1957 Chevy with the top down so that he can sit there with the hat on and the flag. That might be interesting to see him follow the bus like that, you know?
Boy, I like those 57 Chevys. I'm getting that gives me a pleasant memory myself. I was a kid when they came out, but that was a classic car. I had a 59 Chevy Impala. That was a classic too. 61s. It was like the odd numbered years were always good. Chevy Impalas, Chevy Bel Airs. Oh, man, they were great cars. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. Terry, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Terry. Oh, Timmy. Sorry, Timmy. Go ahead, Timmy.
Oh, hey, Howie.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. You were wondering there why Prince Andrew's getting beat up so bad by the media for his dalliances and Epstein's thing, and then Bill Clinton gets a pass.
Yes.
Don't you think it might be because all the women that Bill Clinton abused don't want to, quote, commit suicide, close quote?
I don't know. Juanita Broderick is still walking around, you know, and Paula Jones did okay. She got an $850,000 settlement, and, you know, and cost him his law license. So not everybody has committed Arkansas who went up against the family. I think it's just the media is trying to protect the guy. I mean, again, I've said this before. Maybe I've said it too many times now. They never went after Jeffrey Epstein. He got this sweetheart deal down here in South Florida in 2008. And nobody ever cared about it. Nobody. The Miami Herald, the Palm Beach Post, all of the papers that should have gone after it, they didn't do anything with it until 2018 when they realized that the U.S. attorney who had negotiated the deal was now in the Trump cabinet. Acosta. And suddenly the Miami Herald decided to go after it like a bulldog, as much as a paper as bad as the Miami Herald has become can be a bulldog.
And that still gets me mad because Acosta was a great guy, and he was doing a really good job, and he got so screwed. At least he did something to Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
The guy in New York, what's his name?
Oh, Vance.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah. No, he didn't. Well, how about the guy in Palm Beach County, the state's attorney in Palm Beach County? He was a Democrat. He was the guy who had the actual responsibility. Acosta was the U.S. attorney. He said, you got to go after him. And he said, look, at least I put him in jail to a degree. Kirshner wasn't going to do anything. And so then the Palm Beach Post now has turned on Kirshner, who's just a party hack. And he has a couple of jobs. I don't know what he's doing. He's like a special prosecutor, or he's on a commission. He gets some money out of the Blue County of Palm Beach. And the Palm Beach Post is going after him. Like he's Donald Trump. All these people, Acosta, Kirshner, Epstein, Prince Andrew, they all would have been okay if Hillary Clinton had been elected. They would have been left alone because they were all, because Acosta's case, they just didn't care, and the rest of them would have been covered as Democrats. But if they wanted to get Trump, it doesn't matter if you're a good Democrat like the former state's attorney. It's crazy. It's just the degree of Trump derangement syndrome in the media and the Democrat Party, but I repeat myself, is just almost unbelievable.
Don't you think, too, like even Harvey Weinstein, he probably would have sailed off into the sunset, too. But I think a lot of these people who are victims of these liberal, head honchos started seeing all of these women like Gwyneth Paltrow and Ashley Judd come out against Trump, and they started saying to themselves, wait a second. I've been a victim of someone who you guys get up and call Jesus on the stage.
Yeah. No, I think Harvey Weinstein would still be in a powerful position in Hollywood. I'll bet Matt Lauer would still be at the Today Show. Charlie Rose would still be at whatever crappy CBS shows he was involved at. You know, Jeff Fager would still be the boss of 60 Minutes.
Charlie Rose would still be doing laps in his swimming pool. Hello. Welcome to my house.
What is it with the swimming pool? You know, you got Joe Biden in the swimming pool, you know, with the female Secret Service agents, and then the swimming pool with the little kids. You got Charlie Rose in the swimming pool. And then there's somebody, who's the other one in the swimming pool? Weinstein's in the shower with
the
bathrobe.
They're big water guys, though.
Yeah. I go into that cryo place that we go to sometimes, and I see that bathrobe in there, Grace, and I'm getting the Weinstein vibes, even though, I bet bathrobe sales are down since Me Too began. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
If you're looking for some affordable Christmas gifts for the Howie Carr fans in your life, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on store. We've got four great values for $19.99 in the store right now. One is a Rat Bastards One Deal, $58 worth of my books about the Boston organized crime scene, $58 worth of books for $19.99. You can also get the Rat Bastards number 2 deal. That's the copy of Rat Man, the book about the Whitey Bulger trial, and a Rat Bastards t-shirt for $19.99. That's a $35 value. You can get the Kennedy Babylon deal, 2 volumes, volumes 1 and 2, about a century of scandal and depravity with what used to be known as America's First Family. That's a 30 $9 value for $19.99. And, of course, the most popular of all of our deals, the Deplorables deal. You get a copy of my book, What Really Happened, Donald Trump's favorite book about the 2016 campaign. He's tweeted about it three times. And a copy of a T-shirt, blue T-shirt with white lettering, proud to be deplorable. Go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store for all of these great deals. HowieCarshow.com, click on store. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan. You there, Dan?
Yeah, Howie.
Go ahead.
Why is it that we get all this crap and Adam Schiff is involved in Ukraine? Nancy Pelosi is involved in Ukraine. Her son is involved in Ukraine. Joe Biden's kid is involved in Ukraine. Why is it? I don't understand it.
Dan, I think you do understand it. But it's anything. This is a rule of thumb since November 9th, 2016, the day after the election. Anything that they accuse us of doing, they are involved in spades. That's what it boils down to. So Donald Trump wants to get to the bottom of the 2016 election, whatever it was. And so that's why he wants to know about CrowdStrike. So that's an impeachable offense, apparently. After the Democrats spent the better part of 3 years trying first to frame him for Russian collusion that didn't exist, and then had this investigation, this Star Chamber investigation, a crime in search of a person. They have, and now they're doing it again with Ukraine. They can't give it up. They're like a dog without a bone. With a bone, the bone has no meat on it. And in this case, the bone never had any meat on it, but they still can't give it up. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Mr. Carr, this is my first time to call into anything, so
thank
I'm a little
you.
Nervous.
That's okay. Don't worry.
But my feeling is I cannot vote for any Democrat because socialism leads to communism, leads to slavery. I would rather be free and have Trump, who makes from the hip statements and doesn't consider the problem he's creating. But you look at what he's done more than any other president in the history of this country to benefit the people. He thinks about the people. Is he always right? No. I wish sometimes he'd keep his mouth shut. But I'm going to vote for the man that does the most for the people of the United States, regardless of what happens on his impeachment. And I'm just hoping they don't throw him in jail before it's all over with.
I don't think they're going to throw him in jail. He hasn't committed any crimes. This is the thing, though. I mean, he hasn't committed any crimes, and they're coming after him. They want to throw him in jail. And he keeps saying that, you know, this should never happen to a president of the United States again. This should never happen to any American again. And, you know, you talk about what are the alternatives. I mean, I read last night in the last hour of the show the column by Maureen Dowd's brother. She's a columnist for the New York Times, and every year at Thanksgiving she turns over the column to her brother Kevin, who's a former cop. And his the first sentence of his column was in the New York Times on Sunday. He said, "Maureen, my sister sends me all these emails every throughout the course of the year saying, how can you continue to support that evil orange man, President Trump?" And he said his answer to all these people who email him is, look at the alternatives. And that's what it comes down to. That's what Trump has started saying at his rallies. And it's more than just a good laugh line. It's true. You know, what does he say? You know, you may not like me, but you're going to have to vote for me. Because what are the alternatives? It's like the earlier caller said, how can Joe Biden still be the front runner after all of this? The other candidates are even weaker than creepy Joe Biden.
And they haven't even talked about their blonde, hairy legs.
Or roaches. I'm Howie Carr.